Mark Kermode is with us. What he was doing, of course, the Straw Dogs Saturday night. Now, what is there to bring people about Straw Dogs? What are you telling them?
Well, it's made in the early 90s. It's a West Country Western. Like Sam Peckinpah, who made The Wild Bunch, which is like one of the greatest Westerns ever made. And it was made at it's an interesting film for a number of reasons.
Hey, listen, by the way, stop the qualifying remarks. You're not on Simon Mayo now. Our audience, we know.
Okay.
We know that stuff.
All right, here's the deal. The main thing about interesting backstories to films is whether or not there was a lot of conflict at the time that people made the films. With Straw Dogs, the amount of conflict is insane. It's based on a novel by this guy, Gordon Williams. We interviewed Gordon Williams, and the novel he wrote is called The Siege of Trench's Farm. We said, Straw Dogs said, yeah, piece of fascist nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, really? He said, yeah, it's funny because I wrote that book, and at one point somebody came up to me and said, you wrote the book that Straw Dogs is based on. I really love that film. He said, really? So you're a fascist?
Really?
And they went, Mr. Williams, I didn't...
Sounds like self-loathing to me,
doesn't it? The book is very, very different to the film, because the film is directed by Sam Peckinpah, and Sam Peckinpah was Scott Offerman, but Sam Peckinpah directed it, nowadays, movies are made in very organised circumstances,
yes.
There's lots of insurance, there's lots of people making sure that you behave very well. Well, this was 1971, Sam Peckinpah came up from America, and he was rolling drunk. The entire was wake up in the morning and have coffee with brandy in it, and he
well,
was
a great story about Peckinpah. You know,
go on, which one?
Well, the one that would, well, I know, saying that
there are many, but
he's on.
This is a man who used to take business meetings throwing hunting knives into the wall whilst regular.
I think you're confusing him with Michael Winner.
Okay,
but he's on that chair that goes up in the air on the crane arm, whatever that is. He's on one of those, and apparently somebody felt blood dripping on their shoulder. Do you know this, my friend?
No, go on.
Monty Smith
felt blood dripping on his arm from Sam Peckinpah.
And he looked up and he said, I think you're bleeding, Mr. Peckinpah. And it was falling down Peckinpah's cowboy boot. And Peckinpah apparently said, and I can only apologise, hell, I did nothing but my piles. True story. Now, you may not have that in your Sam Peckinpah. Is it in the documentary?
No, it's not. But I'll tell you this, a better Sam Peckinpah story, I'm actually not related to Straw Dogs, but related to Convoy. At the end of his career, Sam Peckinpah made a movie called Convoy, which is one of the very few cases of a movie based on a 3-minute song, and the movie goes on for 90 minutes, and Sam wanted it to go on for 2 hours, and it's like, no, at 3 minutes, it was really stretching a point. Sam Peckinpah is directing Trucks, and he is out of his head on absolutely everything imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam decides that what he wants to do is to direct the trucks from a helicopter, but because he is so out of his face, rather than being in touch with the trucks via the walkie-talkie system, which most human beings produce, no, Sam is attempting to direct trucks out of a helicopter with a loudspeaker. Go left! Because you can't hear a thing. I mean, you couldn't hear an atom bomb going off over a helicopter.
No. How mad was he by the end?
Well, he was, in the Straw Dogs case, he was, okay, here's an example. At the beginning of the production, he decided that he wanted to get all the actors together and create a gang mentality of them. So he threw a strippers and booze party. Of course you do. Down in Cornwall. So they're in Cornwall. 1971. He gets a whole bunch of ladies of the night down from up in London, brings them down. They get a whole bunch of drinking. As one of the actors said, the way they serve the pudding is you wouldn't believe. At the end of the party, one of the lead actors in the film is standing on the floor. Another of the lead actors is standing up naked. I have to say, for legal reasons, not Dustin Hoffman. Standing up naked on a table, dancing with a lady of ill repute. It wasn't Dustin Hoffman. And the other actor said to him, if you can tumess,
okay,
I will pay you £100.
Mm.
Well, not only could he not, but he fell off the table onto the lead actor, breaking breaking his shoulder in 3 places, ensuring that he then spent the rest of the movie in a sling. Meanwhile, another of the lead actors got into an Indian wrestling competition with Sam.
This is all before shooting the
game. This is why, when you watch the film, they all, one of them, Sam Peckinpah said to Ken Upson, do you want Indian wrestling? You know, Indian wrestling is a thing when there's a circle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And you wrestle, you push somebody out.
Yeah.
So Ken Hutchinson says, oh, yeah, I'm fine, I'll Indian wrestle with you, Sam. Sam's had a few quavaziers. The Indian wrestle. Ken, who's a bigger, pushes Sam Peckinpah out of the circle, thinks that's fine. Falls over. Sam Peckinpah gets up, pulls his foot back with cowboy boot as far as it will go, lamps him in the mouth,
like
splitting.
Cassidy sing.
Exactly. Gong.
Wow.
So next day he has a close-up. So Hutchinson arrives on set the next day. Peckinpah, blind, couldn't... What the hell happened to your face?
He kicked him in.
The director...
It's all on screen if you care to look.
The cast looked beaten up.
And how about as a piece of work, as a film?
It's a terrific...
Williams disowned it, how come you defend it?
Because it's, you know, it's a piece of, you know, classic 70s brutal extreme cinema. It's got fantastic performance by Susan George, who is absolutely wonderful. Dustin Hoffman is really, really great in it. And it's, you know, it's one of the... It's from a period when it was possible to make films that were edgy and confrontational, and you didn't have a whole bunch of... Nobody took Straw Dogs and showed it to a marketing group and said, you know, which character would you like to see more of? Do you like him? Would you like to change that? Don't like that music at the end? No, all right, we'll change all that.
Yeah.
Sam Peckinpah just went, this is the movie I want to make, and if you disagree, I will throw a hunting knife at you. And they went, all right, Sam, that's fine. And then, 2 weeks into the production, Peckinpah goes to Hutchison, says, we're going to Land's End to shout at the moon in the middle of the night. They go to Land's End, middle of the night, freezing cold. Sam Peckinpah drinks a bottle of Courvoisier, says, this is great, goes back home, gets walking pneumonia, entire production shut down.
Well, this is all on Saturday night in the documentary, I take it. So you've got the Straw Dogs thing going on. You've written a book about... Which film are you writing a book about?
Oh, I wrote a book about The Shawshank Redemption.
The Shawshank Redemption.
Which is a lovely film.
It's a lovely film, a little overrated.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting because I did it on the basis of...
It turned up in that list at number two or something.
Yeah, not yet. It's the Internet Movie Database has a list of the greatest movies of all time, and the top three are The Godfather, Shawshank Redemption, and Star Wars.
And that's because Shawshank Redemption has a Doctor Who type following.
It's really weird. When it came out, it flopped. It didn't make any money. I mean, you know, it was way too long, and it's a prison drama and all those sort of things. It was entirely discovered on video, and people then sort of started having this kind of religious following. I mean, literally religious. There's an internet society called HollywoodJesus.com who have the most extraordinary essays written about the biblical meanings of Shawshank Redemption.
Really?
Yeah, and so what I was doing the book about was, why is it that this movie, there's an awful lot of things that are ropey about it, it's got the wrong ending, you know, thing that, why is it that people love it so much? And people love it so much because they think it's a kind of modern gospel parable. Okay. I mean, who knows?
Now, what do you hear about Genie? I mean, we're not here to review films, we're just asking you about what is the buzz? We were celebrating...
I hear it's great, actually, and I hear it's really, apparently they're going to open it wide.
Variety were very complimentary.
Yeah, they were,
The other day...
Complimentary?
Yes, here's the thing.
No.
One second. On Wednesday, we were rounding up, and there are, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, there's four pages, and even by the standards of, you know, that hideous thing, so bad it's good, I've never, ever seen bile and opprobrium heaped upon a picture. And you can name your Madonna films, even your, what's the other one we were talking about the other day? Glitter.
Oh, yeah, no, Glitter, bang.
But this goes, there is one of the reviews which pretty much sums up the others, which are funny and vicious and whatever you like by turns. One of them says, when this movie was over, I just wanted to punch somebody, anybody. And that pretty much sums up the tone. It's very entertaining. Page after page, it cherry picks the most glorious reviews, the bile from all the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. This is the film with Ben Affleck and J-Lo, and it is supposed to be, even though the phrase is overused and with Pride Walk, the worst
movie ever
made. One of them says, and it's not Roger Ebert, but he says, this is the worst movie, I think it's Washington Post, it says, this is the worst movie ever made. I mean that. Listen, watch my lips. Yeah. I mean this. Except Variety.
Yeah. What's the Variety?
A witty and entertaining romantic comedy.
Now,
yes, that's Variety.
And who was reviewing it in Variety?
I don't know. It's just a Variety. Amy someone.
Probably won't be working at Variety.
I'll have to ask Stephen Gatos, who comes on our Saturday breakfast show every morning. He's the executive editor of Variety magazine. He'll be on the show tomorrow morning, around about 8:15, and I will ask him.
Ask him if he's seen it, because I should imagine this publicity, because even though, as I say, I'm loathe to give it the so bad it's good, it says it fails on that. It says, please, don't even believe this is, like, you know, you can go and see it in a Rocky Horror Show where and join in with a bad dialogue. It is really bad. One of them compares it to a crashed airliner laying in a field surrounded by engineers looking at wisps of smoke coming from the wreckage. This sort of stuff, they just go nuts on this.
But the great thing is, it partly that hasn't it destroyed their relationship? Because isn't everyone now saying that they're probably not going to get it?
Well, look, after all, did to us.
Yeah.
Here's Sandra in Woodford Green.